You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Cloudflare suffers from cloud bleed. The bug's now swatted, but it will take a lot of people some time to clear up their passwords. Spora Ransomware's customer service gives lousy service. Trump Locker Ransomware's Just Venus Locker poaching some brand equity. Pen testers say they can break into most networks in under 12 hours. The FBI gets asked again how it gained access to the San Bernardino jihadist's iPhone. There's an update on the Moscow treason trials. And are you headed to Coachella? Hang on to your passwords. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Monday, February 27, 2017. Late last Thursday, Google's Project Zero disclosed that Cloudflare was leaking sensitive information online. Cloudflare is a major provider of a content delivery network, internet security services, and distributed domain name server services. The company has patched the memory leak bug responsible, the flaw is being called CloudBleed, and stresses that the problem with its caching infrastructure affected a relatively small set of the websites that use their DNS services. BitSite explains on its blog that Cloudflare's problems arose from an error in parsing logic that could lead to a buffer overrun that would output uninitialized memory content onto affected web pages. The websites potentially affected by CloudBleed were those that had either email obfuscation, server-side excludes, or automatic HTTPS rewrites enabled. Since many popular services use Cloudflare, among them Uber, Fitbit, OkCupid, and Patreon, and since data may have been leaking for some time, many researchers are advising users to assume their credentials have been exposed and, of course, to change them. The case is a cautionary one. It highlights the risk of third-party memory leaks. A number of industry leaders have weighed in on the issue. David Berman of CipherCloud points out that while most service providers support best practices for data in transit and data at rest, there's still a gap for data in use. We also heard from Kunal Anand, one of Prevoti's co-founders. He noted that this story is unusual in that the search engines began picking up the leaked information without realizing they were doing so. Quote, reputable companies like Google are taking the extra step to purge their search caches for this sensitive information. End quote. Anand urges the sites and services affected by cloud bleed to do API key and password resets across the board. We hope, like Anand, that this doesn't give enterprises migrating to the cloud or to infrastructure as a service options too many headaches. Shuman Gosemjumdor of Shape Security pointed out that this is, quote, one of the widest exposures of confidential and sensitive consumer data ever observed, end quote. While it's unlikely that all of your passwords have been compromised, he says, quote, the problem is that almost any one of your passwords on over 4 million websites could have been compromised, so the safest course of action is to act as though all your passwords were compromised, end quote. This should also remind everyone of what a bad idea it is to reuse passwords. Ransomware and DDoS remain fixtures of the threat landscape. F-Secure describes the ruthlessness of Spora Ransomware's controllers. The security company has been reading through transcripts of interactions between Spora's customer service and the ransomware's victims. Whether you're pleading poverty or asking for sympathy because you just want your grandchildren's pictures back, or even if you tried to pay but lost your Bitcoin because Spora's payment system botched accounts receivable, the answer's the same. A mechanical refusal to consider a discount or even show ordinary human understanding. But then this isn't surprising. There really aren't many Robin Hoods or other honorable thieves out there in the criminal underground. Those who've been following the ongoing Moscow treason trials will recall that Russian authorities have been careful to insist that the defendants stand accused of having handed information not to the CIA proper, but to Americans. Over the weekend, it's emerged what Americans those are thought to be. At least one of the defendants, Ruslan Stoyanov, is accused of passing state secrets to U.S. companies, notably to VeriSign's iDefense cybercrime unit. The accusations date back to 2010 and were leveled by the Russian online payment company Kronopay. Kronopay says it's looking forward to cooperating with the prosecution. Now that iPhone forensic and cracking shop Cellebrite has revealed more of its available services, the U.S. FBI is being asked again how it gained access to the San Bernardino jihadist iPhone and how much it paid for any assistance. Security firm Nuix has been surveying penetration testers. Those are the good guys, white hats, who test systems for security by attempting to break into them with the owner's permission. Nuix concludes that a determined hacker can generally get into a network within 12 hours. This sounds bad enough, but Lamar Bailey of Tripwire thinks the conclusion, if close read, is marginally less alarming. Bailey points out that most network intrusions still occur by exploiting known vulnerabilities that have been left unpatched. So his advice remains, pay attention to the basics. Why make it easier on the attacker than necessary? And you've heard of Trump Towers and any number of other places and products associated with the eponymous 45th U.S. president. Here's another one. Trump Locker. But the name is adventitious, if not deceptive. Mr. Trump isn't involved. And Trump Locker's not even new and huge, or huge. It's just a thinly repacked version of the old Venus Locker ransomware. Finally, headed for the Coachella Music Festival? We hear it's like Burning Man meets Bob Hope, but admittedly it can be hard to hear from one shining sea to another, so perhaps we got it all wrong. Anyway, we're sure it's a swell time, so enjoy it if you find yourself between the Joshua Trees and the Salton Sea in California's low desert. But there's a snake in the heavily irrigated garden. Isn't there always? In this case, the snake is one hacker going by the Slavic-themed name Berkut. He or she or they is selling more than 950,000 user accounts for the popular music fest in the Tochka black market. Some of them seem legitimate. So watch your credentials and consider paying cash for your flowered headdress.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero trust AI.
Joining me once again is Ben Yellen. He's the Senior Law and Policy Analyst at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Ben, a story came by from TechCrunch. President Trump put in a hiring freeze across the federal government, but that is going to affect cybersecurity, specifically some cybersecurity students.
Yeah, so there's this really great program. It's called the CyberCorps Scholarship for Service, and it allows students who have graduated with some technical degree to have some sort of loan forgiveness if they take a job in the public sector. The problem is that with this hiring freeze, there are not many jobs that are going to be hiring. Only if there are, you know, some vacancies will the federal government be hiring people using the scholarship. The way the scholarship works is that if you are not able to obtain a public sector job within a certain time period after graduation, then you are liable to pay back those loans. So it's not just that we're depriving the federal government of young talent in cybersecurity, and again, this is something that President Trump himself has said is a critical issue, but we're forcing many of these students who may have been relying on obtaining the scholarship and getting public sector employment to be massively in debt when they come out of school. And I think it's a penny-wise and pound-foolish policy.
So is this a situation where, you know, some students had headed off to college and made their plans based on this program, and now the rug is sort of being pulled out from under them?
I think that's exactly what's happening. Now, there are other opportunities that are not with the federal government. The scholarship also allows people to get public sector jobs at the state and local level. But, you know, the real bulk of government jobs relating to cybersecurity, because this is a national issue with national implications, are going to be federal jobs. I mean, it's the federal government that has, you know, NIST. It's the federal government that has these cybersecurity task forces. So it's again, while there may be jobs available for many of these students in state and local governments, we're still cutting off a major, major potential source of jobs for students who are relying on this program to go through school.
Yeah, the article points out that the National Security Agency, the NSA, has its own version of this program called the Stokes Educational Scholarship Program. And it's likely that that's exempted because of NSA's role in national security. But so far, OPM hasn't really issued clear guidance on this.
Yeah, that's another problem, is that there's this sort of vague exception to the general federal hiring freeze for military and national security. But that leaves open a number of questions. What counts as national security? As we've said, the president himself has declared cybersecurity to be it certainly implicates national security. So does a program like the one you discussed with the NSA qualify for that? I think there's not a lot of clarity. And that's one of the problems with many of these executive orders so far, is that the policies themselves aren't supplanted with clear guidance to federal agencies as to how they're going to be implemented. So it creates confusion, and it can create real heartache for students who are relying on these scholarships for gainful employment, and really all of us who want the federal government to be hiring the best and the brightest. There's going to be a major talent drop-off because of this policy.
All right, Ben Yellen, thanks for joining us.
Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. Demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com. And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. Today's episode is sponsored by SRM, your first call for cybersecurity and investigations. Threats today are evolving faster than ever before, and since 2005, SRM has pioneered tailored security solutions for global corporations and their executives. Whether it's defending against cyber attacks with their award-winning team of ethical hackers and incident response specialists, or navigating the murky waters of compliance and ESG challenges, SRM's insight and straightforward advice will help you navigate complex risks and emerge more resilient. Their secret? A culture that nurtures the sharpest minds, giving them access to the newest technologies and the freedom to solve problems in new ways, enabling them to craft simple, effective solutions for your unique cyber challenges. Search Your First Call to discover how SRM can help your business.